Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're about ready to approach the throne room of the Word. Father, we know that this is how we live. We move and have our being. So I ask today that as I share the Word, that it come alive to the ears of the hearer. And Father, we just know that revelation can be birthed into a heart of a person for the victory that is needed to overcome this world with. So whatever I share this morning, Father, may it strike a chord in their heart to be a doer of it, not just to hear only. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, how many of you are looking forward to going into another year? I am. Y'all looking forward to going into another year? Hallelujah. How many of you might be sitting here and saying, I don't know whether I can take another year or not? Well, if that's you, I got some good news. You can take another year. You can take any year that the enemy has to offer you and turn it to the advantage of the kingdom of God. Open up to Romans chapter 8. Hallelujah. I just want to share some things with you from my heart today. I just want to encourage many of you as we're coming into a fresh and new year. People laugh about making New Year's resolutions, things like that, but I like to. You know, that's just me. I like to make New Year's resolutions. My flesh suffers because of it, but I like to make it. did any of you guys do that? Yeah, I was sharing with one brother how I love to make a New Year's resolution. He said, I don't believe in that stuff. I believe every year should be the same. And I says, well, then why are you so up and down? Hope you're not here this morning. I'll tell you what. Many of us don't understand how important it is to understand the new birth and the position that the lost are in. The lost are in a hopeless situation unless they find Jesus. Now, not everyone's going to receive Jesus, but we have to see to it that they're familiar, acquainted with Him, because no man's drawn into the kingdom save by the Spirit of God. And, you know, as this morning I woke up about 5 o'clock and things were just going through my spirit. I was just wrestling with things and I'm saying, you know, Father, I'd like to understand more of these end time things. You know, the more light that I'm receiving of the Word, especially in the last 2 years, I'm beginning to step back and take a look at end time things a little different than normal. And I don't know whether that's a scary thing or I don't know whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, you know. John and I, we're kind of getting our heads together and we've been praying about it because we labor over the Word. That's what you're hiring us to do. And to have the mind of Christ. And I think one of the things that qualifies a man to have the mind of Christ is the time that he spends in prayer, not the amount of knowledge that he accumulates. But actually, if you have these thoughts going off in your head, you want to make sure that prayer is behind these thoughts so that you can distinguish whether they be of God or not. Amen? And last year, I've seen key people in my life fall prey to not succeed spiritually with the Lord like I'd hoped they were. And today, they're shipwrecked, so to speak. And your heart goes out because, you know, when you're a pastor, you want everybody to succeed. Not only in this natural life, but you want them to succeed spiritually. And that is really important. And so your heart goes out to everybody. And so as a pastor, I try to search Scripture in such a way that I put more responsibility on you to develop spiritually. Because that is so important. Now, I'm hearing more and more of this particular scripture used a lot. And so I'm going to quote this scripture to you. It's verse 28. Verse 28. So if you look at it, it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Now let's stop there and take a look at this verse. This verse is like many others that Christians will pull out of their setting. They'll pull it out of the text where it has a true understanding in its setting. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? Some scripture, you can't pull it out of the text, because if you pull it out of the text and leave it alone, it can be used very ignorantly. And I'm seeing this particular verse used a lot very ignorantly by believers who are very irresponsible. They're not responsible for their walk with God. And so they'll gravitate towards scriptures that seemingly would lay it back on the Lord for them to succeed. The responsibility really is on God's part. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. To them who are called according to their purpose is never really mentioned out of that verse. The only part of this verse that's quoted is, and we know all things work together for good to them that love God. Well, even that much is enough to indict. It says, according to them that love God. It says, according to them that love God. No, not all believers love God. They know about God. They have a desire for God. But they don't really love God. You see. Or they wouldn't take the position that we just hope everything will pan out. I think a believer has to be determined to do things on purpose in his life, not just throw his life together like it's on a conveyor belt, and at the end, what you dumped off, whatever it is, you know, it was the Lord's will anyway. Because after all things will work together for good to them who love God. The problem is the people that use this scripture out of its setting, never really find things working out for their good. You see, and God wants us to succeed in life. Spiritually and physically. Amen. Amen. Now, just recently in Romans chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, chapter 8, these chapters came alive to me in a fashion I had never seen before. And then I realized by the time you get to chapter 8, you've got to really understand what it means for you to be born again, born from above. And it's so important. For those who've been attending on Wednesday nights, we've been doing a verse-by-verse breakdown. We just finished Romans chapter 8, verse 1 through 23. And I'm handing these notes out and breaking them down so that you could go home and meditate on them and catch it. But for the last 2 years, I've been kicking a lot of things around on this sin nature thing. And finally, the Lord spoke to my heart and He said, my son, any time you want the wisdom of God to flow into your life and through your life and out from your life, all of it has to be viewed or judged through your new birth. Dave Roberson got on this born again trail. He called it the born again trail. And he said the Lord spoke to him and said, everything you need to know about the kingdom of God is on this trail. Going down, I found that is so true. Everything has to be judged in light of our redemption that has taken place through Jesus. There are no exceptions. Everything now has to be judged through that. Now, my seeking on end time things, I am getting to something here. My seeking on end time things, knowing that everything has to be judged in the light of my position with God, new birth, I'm now questioning, what do the end times really look like? Now, I know that William Branham, his ministry, when it came into being, one of the testimonies that William Branham had, correct me if I'm wrong, John, because John was really plugged in. I wasn't much of a person at that time. Well, I was a sinner, but I wasn't alive to, I was too little to understand anything. But yeah, that's how young I am. Anyway, I remember one of the things that was said about William Branham's ministry, that he actually amplified the end time ministry. Was that right? And so John sat under his meetings, and they were phenomenal. From what I understand, he had manifestations, he had angels appearing right on the platform with him. He had a halo on his head on one picture I've got on this book, All Things Are Possible. And sometimes they took pictures of the audience, and in the audience you saw death hoods on many of the people. And so that means that whenever you saw a death hood, it means they were going to die. And William Branham was powerful in the prophetic. But you know, William Branham, just like so many people, we get off doctrinally. Because we don't have a good foundation, a firm foundation in our redemptive rights through Christ Jesus. Without Jesus and knowing your redemptive rights in Him, you can be taken off course. Doctrinally, you can be taken out. Now, I don't know about you, but today, have you noticed that no matter where you go, no matter what church or what ministry you see, even on TV, they all have tendency to gravitate towards money and a really bad doctrine. And I was getting real disturbed about that. And I said, man, how can they teach some of this stuff? And the Lord reminded me that that is why it is so important, just like the prophets this morning, so important that you not only have the Word of God in your heart, but you know how to rightly divide this Word. You've got to understand it. How, when it says rightly divided, it means it's got to fit where it belongs. You just can't pull something out of text. All things do not work together for the believer unless he loves God. And that he understands that there are verses before this verse and there are verses after this verse that clearly define why things will work together for good to them that love God. And if you don't understand them verses, all things will not work out for your good. Number one, in case you hadn't forgotten, we have an enemy. His name's Satan. And his main focus is to see to it you do not understand the Word of God. That is his main focus. He wants to kill everything within you to get you away from the Word of God, because the Word of God is what gives you life and understanding and strength. Praise God. Not the name of a church. Not the name of a particular pastor. Not the name of a particular seminar. Are you following me? What's going to give you stability is the Word of God that gets into your heart and changes you. Changes you. And no one can change you. Matter of fact, you can be bold to do this today. Put your finger right at yourself. You got that finger there? If you don't got your finger there, put it there. Okay, say this with me. No one can change me but God. Wasn't that powerful? Some of you married folks are having a rough row. You need to get that in your understanding. No one can change you but God. Isn't that right, Hal? No one can change Tish but God, right? Did you see him, Tish? Big hearty, amen. No one can change anyone but God. God's the only one that can change your heart. He's the only one that can change those that have hurt you and offended you. God is the only one. Now, what you have to do is you have to step out and act on the Word of God for God to begin to put that in your heart, you know. But until then, now, where am I going? Well, first of all, if you want an abundant year, I want you, if you want to write this down, you should. If you want an abundant year, this coming year, you want to succeed in what you're doing, then one thing that, and I'm just sharing with you something that I do. When I'm sharing you the Word of God, these are principles that I do. Everything must be governed or understood through your new nature. Everything has to be governed or understood through the new nature that you've possessed from being born from above. Now, a lot of people don't realize they got a new nature. They just got born again and they go get water baptized and they're doing church stuff, but they don't understand that they've entered into a new form of living. A new way of living, a new life form. Now, you know, you might not notice it that much at first, but after you go to church and you start getting information, you're going to notice that your walk's getting a little, the walk that you normally did, it's getting a little strained. Why? Because church is telling me one thing and I've been used to doing another. You know what I call that? Suffer. Now notice verse 28 here. And let's look at the verses after it first before we go to the verses before it. Notice what he says. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Notice this. Who are called according to purpose. Now some of your translation has his purpose, but actually it's purpose. According to purpose. Do you know that you were called according to purpose? Did you know you were called according to purpose? That's right. You're called according to purchase perfect. Purpose. Two. Right? Okay, now watch this. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Why? Because he that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Isn't that cool? You know, that's almost hard to grasp with your natural mind. It's just a lot of information that can be just information. But when you're connected to the Word of God, this kind of information ignites something on the inside of you. It gives you a boldness. It gives you a tenacity to operate out of the Word of God, the kingdom of God. Amen? Now that we got into this good stuff, let's go backwards. Let's go back as far as, verse 17. Let's go back to verses before it. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him. If we suffer with Him. That we may be also glorified together. Did you know that if you want to be glorified together with Him, there's got to be something called suffering before that? Ain't that negative? I'm sorry, I ain't one of them preachers. Success in life! But I am! I'm showing you how you can be successful in this life. It comes through suffering. Now, most Christians hear the word suffering, and they don't hear the word suffer. They just hear the word excuse. I have an excuse. Jesus said, there'll be many that want to operate the kingdom of God, but they just have a bunch of excuses. You know what I call an excuse? A leading of your body. That's all it is. But notice, he says here, that we suffer with Him. Now, have you ever thought of that? Have you ever thought about suffering with the Lord? Has anybody of you ever thought about suffering with the Lord? I bet you a lot of you haven't. You know it's in there. What does it mean to suffer with the Lord? How do I suffer with the Lord? Am I supposed to do the same thing He did? Doesn't matter, I couldn't do it anyway. Then what part do I suffer with Him? We're going back to that body. You must be Wednesday nighters. You Wednesday nighters don't say nothing. What does it mean to suffer with Him? No Wednesday nighters. Oh, to what? What did you say, Hal? Mortify the flesh. Oh, you mean the flesh don't get its way? Is that suffering? I know a lot of Christians that still got an excuse for that. You know what mortifying your flesh means? It means it don't get its way. It comes up with excuses. But look at this. If you want to be glorified together with Him, and this glorification that we may also be glorified together is not referring when you get to the third heaven. Dean, he went to the third heaven. And he knows that ain't the glorification. He's talking about being glorified while we're here. Hey, Dean, remember what you told me and John about your body when you came back to it? What did it tell you? Hey, you got to get a mic on this. I got to have him share with you what his body told him. Do you know your body has a voice? What did your body tell you? Tell the body. Tell the body what your body said.
When I came back, my body said, "You will never do this to me again. You will not leave ever again like this."
That's what his body said. You'll never leave ever again. You want to know why? He was looking at graveyard material. Now, Dean, since he had that experience, he has a jump on us. He does. He does. That's why his ministry is centered around that visitation that he had. Because when you get where he get, you know what? Dean said, "I don't know what I lost, but I lost something." Yeah, you did. You know what Dean lost? He lost one viewpoint. He lost the having one viewpoint from here to there. That's what he lost. He has now two viewpoints from there to here and from here to there. Because he went there. So he has two viewpoints. See, that's what he lost. He lost only having one viewpoint. Most of us are at the one viewpoint. We only see from here to there. But when you've been there and you come back here, you'd just be like Dean or the Apostle Paul or several others that have gone to heaven. They gone to heaven, they've seen two viewpoints. And boy, what that does, it puts a dedication in you. It wakes your soul man up. Because when you leave your physical body, he drops to the ground. No wonder he didn't like Dean when Dean came back. He says, "You'll never do this to me again." That's to vacate. Remove life from him. Why? Because your flesh is where the sin nature operates out of. And I think that if we're going to have any kind of revival at all, if the church is going to experience a revival, we've got to come back to this one fact. What are we going to do about our physical body if we want revival? Anybody got a little pin? I can drop it so we can all hear it. What are we going to do with our physical bodies? We're talking about revival. Well, when I started seeing Romans 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 and got the full understanding of these chapters, and I know I'm teaching something I used to teach against. I used to say that the sin nature operated in the spirit of a man. That's why a man had to be born again, so that he would be free from the nature to sin. But I still had to put Romans chapter 7 on a shelf, because I really didn't know how to interpret in my members or in my flesh. Until finally one day I was seeking the Lord and I said, "Lord, take me to some understanding here, because I really desire more." How many of you desire more of God? And he said, "Well, son, I've been trying to get it across to you that the sin nature was operating in you before you got born again. The sin nature is operating in you while you're born again. And the sin nature will operate in you until you get glorified. You get a new body." And I says, "Well, yeah, but what about the new birth if man's born again?" You know, God has a way of asking you some questions you can't get out of it. That's plagued me for years. You know what plagues me? The book of Acts, when it talks about Abraham, David, how about Jude with Enoch? You know, how did God really reveal himself to these spiritually dead men? Where did they get a conscience to serve God? With the faith of God. I always thought that the faith of God had to be injected into your spirit. I thought the reason we got victory over our flesh is because God removed the sin nature within our spirit and put a new nature in us so we could dominate our flesh. Guess what, people? The book of Romans, I finally understood it. It finally dawned on me that the sin nature never leaves your physical body. It has started there. It ended up there. Whether you're not born again or whether you're born again, you have the nature to sin in your body, and it is in rebellion to the kingdom of God, and it cannot be changed. It don't want to be changed. It wants its way, period, over and out! And that's why it finally dawned on me my physical body is the medium by which Satan can control me. So I have to find out a way to put him to death. Mortification, I found out, it's Scripture. Scripture puts him to death. Scripture puts him to mortification. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them, lest they see the light of the glorious gospel, because the glorious gospel is not hid to a dying world. But it can be hid if it's put under your outer vessel. And so I'm beginning to see that this coming year, I have to start doing some things to prepare the leadership of my spirit that I've never had to do before. And one of the things I had a problem with agreeing with was fasting. Matter of fact, when I found some scriptures that they used for fasting and found out they weren't there in the Greek, I went, ha-ha! It's funny how you'll always find doctrine to fit your flesh. Have you ever noticed that? I'm off the hook. Then God says, well, there's some other verses in there about fasting. You know why I picked them up? Because that was what they preached on, those verses. But God found some other verses they never preached on. Fasting. Some of you know what I'm talking about. It's kind of like dieting. So I began to realize that if I'm going to be glorified with Him, if all things are going to be worked together for good, there is one person I have to master I never thought about before. I always thought it was the devil. It's your flesh.
Right.
And you know what? Now I'm finding scripture that didn't even point to it. I found out it is the scripture that points to your flesh. Very interesting. Your bodies, you know what you ought to need to do? You ought to learn to hate your physical body. Because he has a nature to do things against God. You know, Romans 7, you know what bothered me? This man who is a Jew under law, he had a desire to serve God in a conscience somewhere. I couldn't figure out where that conscience came from. You know, he didn't know it neither. But from verse 9 to verse 23 of Romans 7, he said he had a conscience to do the will of God. Even this conscience agreed with the law, but he didn't know how to find the agreement there. Why? Because he didn't know he was a spiritual being. He only saw himself as a physical being. And so the law deceived him and him believing that if he would just keep the law, he could be saved by it. And he was deceived by believing that. You can't keep the law. You want to know why? Your body will not cooperate with the righteousness of the law. It can't, it won't, and never will. It'll find a way to come against the kingdom of God in you. By a desire that works against the desire of your inward man. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's why Paul said the hopelessness of a man that's not born again doesn't have an inward life. He has no identity and he has no power. So what do you do about a guy that gets born again and still has no identity and power? He's still in the same fix. Same fix. He can agree with the Word of God, but won't do him a bit of good. He has to take the Word and act on it, perform it. That's why James says there, if a man say he has faith, yet I'll show you my faith by my works. If he doesn't have any faith, you know what he said? The same thing. He says then he's in agreement with the Word of God, but he's like this. He's like a man who has a physical body and no spirit. Why? Because the body's not made alive by the Spirit, then it's as good as dead. Your faith has to have works. This year, our church is going to be challenged to have good works with your faith. Not excuses. Not being lackadaisical with hearing the Word of God, but get on the cutting edge so you know what it's about. You know, I had to watch the football game last night. Yeah, I had to. That was a lie. But you know what? I watched the other team. You know, I was for the Giants because I wanted them to get cut, you know. So I liked the beginning of it. But you know something? I kept watching Brady and that other team. You know what? They're so convinced because every part is working in perfect time. They get a little jump on them. It don't stop them. They'll go back to what they know. They'll work like a well-oiled machine. Did you see that one toss they gave at Moss? For some of you women that don't care, but some of you do. He drops the ball. The very next play, they go back to the same play. Why? Because they got it down pat. It don't matter how many times they try, one of them's going to work. Every joint supplies. Every member is a part. And when you work together as a team, things will begin to work. But you have to give yourself over to God spiritually for that to happen. And success in your life is when you start controlling your physical body. That is the most important thing because you have death at work in it. You do. If you don't die because Satan couldn't create an accident for you to fall into, your body will eventually die. Why? It's got the nature of death at work in it. And it works against the kingdom of God. And that's what Paul was saying. So when you get to Romans 8, you know what? Romans 8 says, oh, wretched, well, Romans 7 at the end says, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? He was talking about the physical body. He says, I thank God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He gave you a redemption to where you are resurrected inwardly, spiritually. You have an inward man now that can come against your outer man and put it where it belongs, especially in your redemptive rights. Are you guys getting this? This year, you ought to pray, God, I want to learn this year how to become skillful in the Word of God. Because I want to skillfully have my senses trained or exercised so that the meat of God's Word is solid in my life. Most Christians just don't care. That's why you go home early. You know why, Dean, you know why you weren't allowed to go home early? Because God knew your heart. He knew that if I get this man back on earth, he'll do me more good than harm. But Dean will testify. He saw Christians going in before their time. Shoo, shoo. You know why? And God kept him while he had him. He couldn't trust him back in the earth. They'd get off track. They become an enemy of a cross and they don't even know it. In the latter days, man, the people in the church, it frightens me. There'll be murmurers and complainers. There'll be people that want to be entertained. They want more of the social side than the spiritual side. That's why we force the spiritual side so strong. There ain't enough churches out there forcing it. It's all the social side. Dean said, you're losing your social side. Yeah, because we're gravitating more towards the spiritual side. How could two walk together except we agree? This is a year for you to develop spiritually. I'm going to tell you something. I've never felt a more urgency in my spirit in closing. Whatever your redemptive roots are, you've got to get into them. You've got to develop a desire in your spirit to serve God against your body. Now listen to me. Listen to me. I don't have the fullness of this, but I qualify to bring this warning. Why? I spent time in prayer. Here's the warning. The economy is going to turn for the worst in the next 2 years. That is why it is imperative you get out of debt. You get into the church and you get close to God. Because some things are going to begin to take place that is going to need life and peace for you. Yeah. And I'm saying this with very much carefulness. Don't be deceived. Don't go on as normal. Force yourself to be more spiritual this year. Force yourself to get more into the Word of God. Force yourself to begin to handle the Word of God skillfully. It'll pay great dividends for what's ahead. Already I talked to one banking lady. And she's stunned because she works for one of the banks here locally. And she's stunned at the hit that they took in their loan department for homes. And she says, I know all the details of what's involved in this, and it's on a downward trend. And she says she doesn't see it coming to an end. She thinks we're going to go into a recession and things are going to get worse. Isn't this good news for the year to come? Well, this message is not what you call term good news. It's called get on the cutting edge with God. Get there. I'm going to tell you what, you're going to regret it if you don't. Now, as soon as I get more of the Word of God in me and more of an understanding of where I stand, I know God's going to reveal it to me. We're going to talk about some end time things and what's coming up. But I'll tell you what, the days of entertainment are going to be over pretty soon. I do believe that if the flesh was not as in much control as it is now, there wouldn't be the doctrines running around that there are. So this year, learn something about what it means that the Spirit desires against the flesh and the flesh against the Spirit, that you would, so that you would not do the things that you would. There's a demand on you when you become spiritual. When you are fleshly as a believer, you're complacent, you lose interest, you lose focus, and you get into trouble. Did you guys get something here tonight? Hallelujah. This year is going to be a walk of the Spirit, people. It is going to be a walk of the Spirit. And I think God has got everyone's heart in mind. That is why He said, and we know, that He that searches the heart knows what is the mind of your spirit, because He's making intercession for you according to the will of God. And I believe that this year you're going to find more Christians praying. You're going to find them more in a state of intercession for themselves, because it seems like things in the natural has stopped for them. But you know what? That's not going to stop the church. The church is going to go on to glorification. The body will not stop the church. The devil used the body, but the body will not stop the church. Your physical body won't stop the church. Did you guys get something here tonight? Stand up, everybody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.